A Worldwide Work. June 18, 1902. Typed. I am much burdened in regard to the work in America. Not 1/100th part is being done that might be done. There are many, many openings to be filled. Looking upon the unpromising fields of Samaria, Christ said to his disciples, Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. John 4, verse 35, 36. Christ had been talking with the Samaritan woman. The result of the words spoken to her is told in the following words. Many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all things that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Verses 39 to 42. The experience of Christ and his disciples on this occasion will be often repeated in this age of the world. The closing words of the book of Revelation point out our work. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22, verse 16, 17. The need of medical missionary work. For many years, the Lord has kept before our people the value of medical missions. Medical missionary work is the means that the Lord uses to prepare the way for the presentation of other points of truth. The Lord has given Dr. Kellogg special power to see and appreciate the value of medical missionary work in preparing the way, in connection with other Christian agencies, for the proclamation of the first, second, and third angels' messages to go to a world that is fast becoming as wicked as the world that was destroyed by the flood. Dr. Kellogg has acted his part well, as far as striving to carry forward medical missionary work is concerned. But his ministering brethren have not cooperated with him in the line of health reform. They should have shown far greater respect and sympathy for Dr. Kellogg and his earnest efforts to advance the truths so important for this time. Some have questioned whether medical missionary work may not have been carried too strongly. Some claim that the doctor and his associates have placed undue importance on the work with which they are connected. The doing of this work is the doctor's special talent. It has been the labor of his life, and none too much importance has been given to this phase of God's work. But the efforts that have been put forth have not always been proportionately distributed. Intemperance has filled our world, and medical missions should be established in every city. By this, I do not mean that expensive institutions should be established, calling for a large outlay of means. These missions are to be conducted in such a way that they will not be a heavy drain on the cause, and their work is to prepare the way for the establishment of present truth. Medical missionary work should have its representative in every place in connection with the establishment of our churches. The relief of bodily suffering opens the way for the healing of the sin-sick soul. This is the work that will need to be established in the southern field. Let our people awake to the importance of this work. Not one word too much has been said in vindication and praise of genuine medical missionary work. Connected with other lines of gospel work, medical missionary work is the instrument by which the ground is prepared for the sowing of the seed of truth, and the instrument also by which the harvest is reaped. If all our ministers had received and practiced the light that God had given on health reform, the needy and the outcasts would be embraced in every evangelistic effort to a much larger extent than they have been. With medical missionary work acting as the helping hand of the gospel ministry, the sick would be restored to health, and many souls would be led into the light. But while medical missionary work is a most necessary and important work, it is to be carefully guarded. There is a limit to the work that we are to do for the outcasts, those who are deeply sunken in vice. We are not to put all our talent and means into this class of work, which consumes without producing. It brings into the truth few who can properly represent Christ. It does little to impart power and force to the truth that is to belt the world. Medical missionary work is not to be carried in the way that it has been carried in Chicago. There are other places where plants should be made, other places that should have the privileges and blessings of the truth. All parts of the vineyard are to be worked. The gospel of Christ is to be bound up with medical missionary work, and medical missionary work is to be bound up with the gospel ministry. The world needs the efforts of medical missionaries who are bound up with the gospel message. The ministers of the gospel cannot spend their time and strength in doing the work that needs to be done in this line. But by the influence of pen and voice, they can strengthen this work. They are to look upon it as the helping hand of the gospel, regarding it with great appreciation as the means of preparing hearts for the sowing of the seed of truth and of bringing many to Christ. The minister will often be called upon to act the part of a physician. He should have a training that will enable him to administer the simpler remedies for the relief of suffering. Ministers and Bible workers should prepare themselves for this line of work, for in doing it, they are following the example of Christ. They should be as well prepared by education and practice to combat disease of the body as they are to heal the sin-sick soul by pointing to the great physician. They are fulfilling the commission Christ gave to the 12 and afterward to the 70. Into whatsoever city ye enter, heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Luke 10, verse 8, 9. Christ stands by their side as ready to heal the sick as when he was on this earth in person. God's greatness. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. Then what is our work? It is to be fully converted to the principles that Christ has laid down, and to carry these principles into earnest work for him. The Lord has a place for every man and every woman, whether young, middle-aged, or old. When men and women find their place, there will be a work done for the Lord that has not yet been done. Great weakness has come upon the people of God because they have left the Lord Jesus, because they have lost out of their lives His Spirit, His love, His rich grace. They have lifted up their souls unto vanity and have planned in human wisdom, supposing human talent to be their strength. Thus they bring upon themselves weakness and perplexity. In their dependence on humanity, they forget that men and women are finite, erring, naturally selfish, and that their planning is sure to be mingled with dross. The most gifted of human beings, men and women of the broadest minds and deepest comprehension, those most highly cultured and most highly educated, those who stand in the world as rulers, are infants in comparison with God in their understanding of the things of eternity. And because they have so limited a knowledge of Him, because they know so little of His ways, His mind, His character, they are in danger of making themselves gods. Can we wonder that the inspired writer asks, What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Psalm 8, verse 4. The Lord has brought this subject to my mind in a most forcible manner. Language is not adequate to express it. It is a subject as high as heaven and as broad as the world. Those who are not conscious of God's greatness, His omnipotence, will intrude themselves as great and wise, but they are mere nothingness. In God's sight, they are as little children that cannot walk alone, yet they feel fully competent to handle the greatest problems. They suppose that if they can unite and consolidate their talents, they will make a grand success. But the greater the number united, the greater will be the failure unless they seek to know and understand God. It is not numbers combined in unions that brings man into harmony with heaven. There are many, very many, who, inexperienced and unreasoning, suppose themselves wise enough to do anything they may wish to do. With God, their wisdom is foolishness. They need to remember that they are only children in wisdom, and that before they can know themselves, they must learn of God. God is our Father, and He will teach all who come to Him, realizing that their human wisdom is foolishness. As they take hold of His strength and make peace with Him, living by His word, He will unite His strength with their weakness, His knowledge with their ignorance, making them strong in Him. He will give them the care adapted to their necessities. Those who trust in Him as their teacher will not stumble or fall. In His treatment of His children, God does not flatter them, but leads them on, step by step, into the fullness of His light. He does not always give them all they crave. He does not grant their wishes if He sees that to withhold what they desire would be for their best good. Often, did God grant what they desire, it would prove their ruin. Man is a bundle of inconsistencies, and if the Lord does not hold him in restraint, he acts in a way that brings mortification and trial to him and to others.